and you're listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger, ready to talk some wrestling. Danny, it's only the bros tonight. How are you doing?
It is bros night here on FOW. I am doing well. You know, it's the last month of 2018. Everybody's starting to compile their best of the year awards and rewards and lists and all this. I, for one, tend to wait until January to do that because, contrary to popular belief, there are still things in December that happen and matter. So we will not be talking about those until 2019 so that we can fully assess all of 2018. But, you know, we got some big shows and different things coming up, you know, in the next couple weeks in this month. I'm excited for it. Let's get to talking about them.
Yeah, so first and foremost, before we talk about all this happening, sad news. In the world of pro wrestling this week, we lost the Dynamic Kid, Thomas Billington, who had been retired for a long time due to back issues. Of course, he is mostly popularly known as one half of the British Bulldogs with Davey Boy Smith. Of course, they had that run in the WWE, back then the WWF. But of course, very popular in Canada, Stampede Wrestling, also a lot of stints in Japan, had those memorable feuds with Tiger Mask. He was very influential to a lot of wrestlers worldwide in the type of style that he wrestled. Unfortunately, that style was what ended up being his demise, as, you know, later in life, he had these back issues that eventually made him wheelchair bound, but now he passed away on his 60th birthday, and so he did 6 decades, and that's it.
Well, I mean, it's as you already mentioned, some of the influence, you know, I mean, being that he was kind of a lighter heavyweight guy, you know, he helped popularize that style and kind of mixing in some of your British wrestling style with your Japanese wrestling style, with a little bit of the Stampede, you know, Canadian style. And it was very, very, very hard hitting. Of course, you mentioned that kind of taking its toll on his body, but, you know, I mean, there's a couple people that you can just name right off the bat who mirrored themselves very heavily after, Dynamite Kid. Of course, one of them being Chris Benoit. That style also taking its toll on him physically, mentally. Kind of, I would say the third in that line would be Davey Richards. I see a lot of Benoit and Dynamite in Davey Richards, the physique as well as just the style. Davey Richards liked to use a lot more kicks and stuff in his style, but I think there was still that same intensity. The Dynamite Kid kind of helped became known for, but yeah, a career that was tragically a lot shorter than most people would have liked. But I think his legacy will live on through the influence that he had, on so many people. You know, he's at this point, you know, him being 60 years old and having not wrestled for almost 20 years. You know, the generation now was kind of influenced by the people that Dynamite Kid influenced, you know, so he's almost like two or three generations back, now. But, you know, it, because of those early stuff with him and the original Tiger Mask, Satoru Sayama, they helped kind of set a pace for what some of the junior heavyweight style could be. And then of course with British Bulldog, you know, had a lot of fun in WWF and great tag team. Just, you know, a loss to the wrestling community, but also I think he plays as a kind of a cautionary tale about, just how physical of a style it can take its toll on your body. You know, so I think that a lot can be learned from just studying the career of Dynamite Kid, not just in what he did, but sadly in things of sometimes what not to do as well. So I think it is a great loss for the wrestling community, but he did leave a lasting legacy. And I don't think he will be easily forgotten within the wrestling world.
Yeah, of course he will not be an extended son of the Hart family. Of course, he spent many years Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling, but I think that it's a cautionary tale, like you said. You know, the style, it will take its toll on the body. Listen to your body. I think a lot of wrestlers are doing it now. Some not wrestling as much if they think they need a break. Taking breaks, especially in a business where there's no off season. You know, you don't want to wait until you're actually hurt, which unfortunately is the case for most people. But yeah, it's a career. What could it have been? Once they, you know, broke out and had that fame from WWE in the 80s, but unfortunately they couldn't capitalize it because by then his back was already bad. I mean, you could see Davey Boy Smith doing most of the work in those matches, and at a point having to carry him to the ring to get him there. But yeah, the we'll never forget the British Bulldogs, and you know also what they did. They were able to do as a tag team against the Hart Foundation and a few others, and of course, who forget the dog Matilda, right there with them. But yeah, the British Bulldogs are done, and now of course we still have the modern day Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Harry Smith, to carry on that legacy, carry on the memory of the Bulldogs. But Dynamic Kid, one of the best technical wrestlers out there, and he passed away. Of course, personal life, lots of questions, lots of asterisks. But you know, we're not gonna go into any of that. It is a loss for the pro wrestling community as far as a wrestler passed away, and one that people will always remember. Well, now moving on, we got lots to talk about, Danny. Last week, we actually went down to Jonesboro, south of Atlanta, and got to watch AWE's last show before Show of the Year. And we got something set up here now. We got our main event, which ended up being Joe Black versus Caleb Conley. Of course, Caleb Conley returning to AWE. I believe the last time we saw him was a year ago. So here we get him and puts on quite a challenge against Joe Black. But Joe Black retains the championship. And a lot more was set up. But Danny, you were there calling the action. Tell me your thoughts now, looking back, being able to reflect on AWE in Jonesboro at the Furnace 41.
Well, I mean, the show started off fairly chaotic, a bit more hectic than I think anyone anticipated. You know, the original announced main event was, you know, Black Lizuno versus Su Yung. That match not happening in the one-on-one capacity. There had been some trash talk between Ruthless Lala and the Hierarchy, and Adrian Armour calling her out specifically. She came out to open the show and said, "Hey, man, you know, you want to call me out? You want to talk junk? I'm through talking. I'm right here." The Hierarchy attempted to circle the ring. Armour, Aria Blake, and Uno. And outcome to even the numbers were Zeta Zhang and Su Yung, both with kendo sticks. The match was made by Blacklist Uno, who's playing, is the as he's referring to himself as the supreme leader instead of the president or the general manager. He's using the term supreme leader. He said that they would do a match right there, six person Raw rules. So we had Zeta Zhang, Ruthless Lala, and Sue Young against Adrian Armour, Blacklist Uno, and Aria Blake. It's chaotic as one would expect when there's kendo sticks involved and Sue Young and the hierarchy's numbers game. The show started off chaotic and it ended with, as you mentioned, a very good match between Conley and Joe Black. But a couple matches were set up for Show of the Year at that show. It seemed that ACH, New Japan star, former ROH star, who was announced as coming to AEW, it is now he will be taking on Joe Black for the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship in the last AWE event before they kind of go through a rebranding of sorts and become Combat Entertainment in 2019. I don't know what the state of the GWC will be. I don't know if that title just kind of gets retired or whether it moves into Combat Entertainment itself. So this could be the last GWC match we see, not just the last AWE show. Also, it seemed they set up and they haven't really announced it on social media since the show, but a street fight at Show of the Year between Blacklist Uno and Slade Porter, who's looking to get revenge on the hierarchy after they took him under their wing. And over the course of a couple years, he literally gave a lot of himself for the group. And once they felt that he was no longer helpful to them, they cast him aside like they've done so many others. So he's coming for revenge against the Don, the OG, the godfather of the hierarchy, Blacklist Uno, in a street fight. I hope Slade's ready, because it's not he is not the favorite going into that match at all. So another wild show in Jonesboro. I'm starting to like the venue a lot. It feels a lot kind of like the Famous Pub, kind of like the Quad, very kind of dirty, dingy, grungy, kind of dive bar-y. I think it's mostly seems to be a heavy metal concert venue bar. So it has that kind of grungy underground kind of feel. But we'll be back one more time as Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment in Jonesboro, December 27th for Show of the Year 5.
Now, also announced on the social media was the Doc Color match between the members of the Carnies, Kerry Offal versus Nick Iggy, as these two brothers have been fighting each other and now they will be going to battle in a match that these two made one of the most memorable matches in AEW history when they headlined Show of the Year 2 and faced off against Descent of the Fury, William Huckabee, and Joe Black. When those four men were in a Doc Collar match, it was probably one of the most violent AEW matches up to that point. And now, there was hatred between Son of Fury and Team IOU. And as we've seen all over the indies, these two guys, the Carnies, are not on the same page. They have not been on the same page for a while. And they are going to try to kill each other.
I mean, you mentioned it. It'll be 3 years ago to the day from when they were when they were on the losing end that night against the Sound of the Fury in the Double Dog Collar match. 3 years to the day, December 27th of 2015. Now we're looking to December 27th of 2018. They will be tied with each other at the opposite end of that dog collar. If you followed anything on social media across multiple promotions, these guys continue to have these problems. Carrie's trying to claim, hey man, we're just not the same anymore. I'm not the same anymore. The circus is dead. Nick Iggy's saying, hey man, if you don't want to be in the circus, I own the circus. I say the circus is open. He's trying to seemingly continue the Carnies as just Nick Iggy and Trip Cassidy. You know, Trip Cassidy is the third member of the Carnies, trying to play peacemaker and keep the family together, so to speak. But yeah, I'm really interested to see how this happens. I don't know how much hatred is there. You know, sometimes they say nobody hits you harder than family. And I think we may see some of that because they are, you know, they are close. They have come up, they came into the wrestling business together. They essentially grew up, you know, from teenagers with a dream to young men together. So I think there's going to be probably a lot of hatred, you know, that may have been building for a long time that was just kind of never really exercised. You know, I don't know if after a dog collar match they will really ever be able to be a team together again. You know, sometimes you dig scars too deep. But it's going to be unusual. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be wild. I think it's going to be hard for a lot of people to pick a side because the Carnies are so beloved, especially at AWE. I think a lot of the fans were very thrown off and upset by them seemingly kind of splitting and having some miscommunications. Curious to see how it goes and if the venue can contain them when they're tied to the neck.
Yeah, they are two men who are one of the most popular tag teams in the South and becoming throughout the United States. And, you know, the circus may not be over, but the circus as we've known it will be over. And so it's going to be a war. These two guys are going to throw everything at each other. And we're going to see it live on December 27th. And my heart breaks. I love both guys. And I don't want to see them battle, but it is what has to happen. Now, speaking of family battles, Vince McMahon is going his own personal battle for him and not necessarily his family, but he's taking money from his family to fund this battle. As he's bringing back the XFL, of course, we've already talked about this, with a more fan-friendly, interactive method. Still not sure what it all means, but the XFL is coming, and Vince McMahon again sold millions of dollars worth of stock, or he cashed in a bunch more. Of course, I believe, maybe if I read this correctly somewhere, it's about 1% of the stock that he owns of WWE that he sold off so far to fund the XFL.
1%. Wow. I mean, that sounds like not that much, but I imagine it's probably millions upon millions of dollars in 1% of WWE stock.
Yes, it's a lot. So he's got plenty of dough. So he's making pizza with it, and he's making football pizza.
Goodness.
The thing that came out this today was the big news about the teams. Okay, there's gonna be 8 teams, and announced have been the cities that will host and the host stadiums for the XFL games. So here they are: Dallas, Texas, which will play in the Globe Life Park; Houston, Texas, which will play in the TDECU Stadium, whatever that even means. Los Angeles will play in the StubHub Center. New York will play in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. St. Louis, Missouri, at the Dome at America's Center. I mean, I've never heard of half these stadiums, I they sound like I could be making them up. I really am not.
You might be. But, you know, as we know with stadiums, even in our own city of Atlanta, their names change frequently. It seems every few years they kind of change the name of the stadium.
Well, at least 10 or 20. You know, you got to get your money's back on your investment. But, yeah, I hear you. Seattle, Washington, at the CenturyLink Field. Tampa, Florida is getting a team. We were playing at the Raymond James Stadium. I wonder how much Raymond James had to pay for that. Never heard of Raymond James, but that's all right. All power to him. Hey, you know what? He can afford to name his own stadium, all right? If you have money to waste on naming a stadium, Danny, if you're rich enough, will we ever see the Danny Danger Zone?
I mean, there's probably better things I'd want to do with my money than just buy a building.
Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. They will be playing in the Audi Field. So, yeah, there you go. 8 teams. Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C.
You know, when Vince tried to start this the first go-around, they did one complete season, and he lost, you know, upwards of $50 million is the reported number. You know, and they decided not to do a second season. I'm curious as to what made them think that 2019 is the year that it will turn a profit. Like, I'm curious to see why they think that this idea will work now when it didn't work before. Is it something they're going to be smarter with their investment and what they put forth now, or is there, you know, do they feel that there's an entertainment need now, you know, that people are getting upset with certain things at the NFL to the point where they're looking outside for additional football? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand the rationale, the thinking behind it. You know, some of the things that the XFL tried to do at the time to help set themselves apart with different camera work and, you know, having on-field cameras, you know, and kind of plugged in sound so you could hear the guys calling the plays on the field, which they weren't doing in the NFL at the time. They pretty much do in the NFL now. So what little bits of innovation that they tried to present the first go around to say, hey, yes, the NFL does this and this and this, but we're kind of bringing you inside the huddle and we're bringing you inside the game. We're doing, you know, we're getting camera views down on the field, not just from the skybox. NFL's already doing that. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if there's going to be rule changes. I don't know if they're going to do that thing where the guys can pick whatever the heck they want to put on the back of their jersey for their names instead of having to have their last names. You know, I don't know what's going to be different about it that people are going to just stop watching the NFL or choose XFL over the NFL. If it comes to that, you know, we don't know when their season is going to run. Is their season going to run alongside the NFL, or is it going to try to run during the NFL off season? I'm not really sure. I'm not a huge football fan. I don't think if they do a few little rule changes or gimmicks that I'm going to become a football fan. So, it, you know, I mean, either way, I'm not going to be watching. But, I mean, if Vince McMahon goes and loses a bunch of money a second go around, that it yet again, it'll have, you know, not to say that it'll have its impact on the WWE, but it, you know, we're gonna be talking about it again.
Here we go. The XFL. Now, my thought process of this is, I think now Vince McMahon has full control of what happens with the XFL this go around. Before, it was a 50-50 partnership with NBC. So I think that's one of the theories, right?
Okay. Because we all know Vinnie Mac wants to have control. He doesn't like sharing the power with anybody.
Well, I mean, I think that before, and this comes to my second point, before he needed NBC so they could share the cost. now, when Vince's stock of WWE being so high, you know, and him being filthy rich, he can now take the loss on his own. It doesn't matter. He answers to no one. He takes this money that he's earned, and he knows eventually he's not taking with him to, you know, heaven or hell or wherever he ends up going. And he's got more coming. So it's not like, you know, he's hurting for money. He's got $5 billion coming next year. You could do worse things with your money, like pay it to name a stadium after yourself. I mean, that's probably just as well, it's probably cheaper in the long run, but still. At least he's saying you're going to enjoy this. Now, where it's going to air, how is it going to air, that we don't know. But it's going to eventually be seen somewhere. At worst, it could be seen live or on demand on WWE Network, which, you know, it's available for $9.99 for and free the first month for new subscribers. But, you know, other than that, will he have a partner on TV? I'm not sure. When will it air? I mean, definitely not at the same time as the NFL. I mean, he's not that big of an idiot. But then you also have this new league that's starting next year ahead of the XFL. So, and then, of course, you have arena football, and you got the Canadian football and all these other football leagues that are running when the NFL is on the off season. So, I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but Vince McMahon, you know, if he knows anything, is he knows how to make money. And if you look at fan morale, you know, especially with the vocal minority, you know, WWE's quality of work is at its, you know, worst, if you ask people on the internet, right? But Vince McMahon, in what's the worst quality of wrestling he's probably ever produced, according to many people, has made the most money he has ever made.
It's very true. Record profits and highs.
If all Vince McMahon had to do was have bad wrestling to make a whole lot of money, he should have done bad wrestling a long time ago. So, yeah, Danny, XFL, I'm not sure what it's going to be. I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I guess we will find out. You have to watch at least part of one game so you can at least get an idea.
No, I'll just let other people, I'll just let Twitter tell me about it. Like I do most things. No.
That's the XFL. Starts in the year 2020. We still have, I would say, at least a year and a half before we see anything. But until then, more money will be spent.
A lot more money will be spent, I would imagine.
The XFL coming in 2020.
You heard it here first, folks. In 2020.
Not that quite, but yes, you heard it here first.
You always say, never let the truth get in the way of a good story, Patrick.
Indeed I do. Now, okay, let's move on. True story. NXT wrestlers are being sent down to Evolve to wrestle, and they're actually winning championships.
Yes.
Evolve 114 was the big one. Fabian Aichner challenged and defeated Shane Strickland to win the Evolve Championship. On that same show, the Street Profits challenged and defeated Doom Patrol to win the Evolve Tag Team Championships. So, Aichner and the Street Profits, NXT, WWE contracted talent, are your Evolve champions. Now, of course, you know, it's no secret. Gabe Kapolsky, the promoter or booker of Evolve, is also, you know, a paid consultant for WWE. So there's that relationship. Evolve seems to be like a feeder to the feeder for WWE. So it's kind of like the AAA, right, to the double A to, you know, division A. So here we go. Deadly talent. And not only that, we've seen other talent go down to evolve in non-televised matches. We saw that happen with Adam Cole. But now we're seeing them on the actual shows, on the iPay-per-views. And now we're going to be seeing Chris Hero, who we saw, and we're going to see him again.
We saw Mustafa Ali was on a show, a couple shows a week or two ago. Coming up, Roderick Strong will also be in there. But so Roderick Strong is actually coming in for two nights, and on that first night, he will be challenging for the Evolve Championship.
History in the making, Danny. The first time ever that there will be a Evolve Championship match, not to include an Evolved contracted wrestler.
From an outsider standpoint, when on a single night you change multiple championships, to me the point is to get people talking, to get people interested, to say, where are they going, what are they doing, where's the company heading? And you know, they did that. They got people talking, and I don't know if people are getting really any answers. I mean, I see that, you know, they're, like you said, they're using it as like a feeder. You know, you're not really doing a whole lot with the Street Profits as far as NXT TV. They're getting over, but it's obvious that you're not going to push them towards the title scene right away. Why not let them go somewhere else and get over? You know, and they can also, I guess, help wrestle tag teams and kind of give you a feel of, are these people you want to possibly bring, you know, to NXT tryouts and stuff? Same with Fabian Aichner. You know, he was in the Cruiserweight Classic, and he has had, you know, several appearances on NXT TV, but more used as an enhancement role. You know, I mean, from what they're all, his matches are always very competitive. He always kind of shines. You know, he always does a lot in these matches that kind of wow people. But, you know, they don't really, it's not a consistent kind of thing with him. They have, you know, he doesn't really have a character. He doesn't really have something that fans can grasp onto other than just, you know, just kind of having some flashy moves, and then he kind of goes off TV for a while. So very, very interested to see where all this leads to, what all it becomes. Do you know, are they basically just sending Evolve, you know, NXT people down there to kind of test some of these guys? I mean, as somebody who's following this, I'm noticing that it seems that some of the same few people are the ones who are taking on the WWE contracted talent. Darby Allin took on Velveteen Dream when he was down there. Darby Allin took on he did not take on Mustafa Ali, but he will be taking on Roderick Strong. So I'm guessing this is kind of a way to test some of these people that they're interested in that are in Evolve, and see if they're ready. You know, because there's been this kind of working relationship with Evolve and WWE for a couple of years now. You know, the story was that Matt Riddle was contracted to WWE and Evolve. Basically because WWE wanted him, but they didn't feel that he was ready right then to bring up. So they kind of kept him down there, let him get some additional seasoning, so to speak, and then they hired him to NXT when they felt he was ready. So I don't know if they're kind of trying to do the same. You know, I mean, there's these guys that Evolve kind of seems to have a liking to, that there's word that WWE's interested in. You know, Darby Allin, apparently. Austin Theory, of course, was another name that's big and Evolved that they seem to have. WWE seems to be keeping an eye on. I think he was at a tryout, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, maybe. So very interesting to see where this goes. But we talk about how unusual of a year 2018 is, how so many things are happening in wrestling that even a few years ago you would have said, no, I don't believe it. I wouldn't believe that if it was happening. and these things are happening again and again and again. 2018 is a very unusual year, but I think it's been a great year for places trying new things, trying different and unusual things. You know, instead of allowing wrestling to kind of stagnate, and I think that it you have to do that in order to keep something growing. You have to try new things and try new areas. WWE is certainly doing a lot of those in 2018. This being only part of it, you know. I mean, we can also look over to, you know, if you want to jump ahead to kind of our another talking point about what's going on with NXT UK, you know, where all these people are now being signed. They've signed, 20 people from the British scene to exclusive WWE NXT UK contracts. There's been a little bit of an uproar with, you know, some backlash from some wrestlers and some fans saying WWE just effectively killed the British scene by signing these 20 people. When they opened NXT the first place, you know, and they signed a bunch of people, they didn't kill the American scene. Granted, the American scene's much larger. But, you know, it just means that there's more room for the next generation of British wrestlers to step up and claim that scene as their own and shape it a new way if they so want to.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. You know, it's with the British scene, right? You take all these wrestlers, all these top names, and to your point, yes, it's time for the other companies to build up names. Now, of course, there are some companies that people are believe that will eventually be bought out by WWE. That is Progress Wrestling and ICW, I believe.
Yeah, I think they were kind of had their eyes on ICW in Scotland.
So we have those there. Of course, apparently WWE has the rights to buy them at any time for a price that they agreed upon once upon a time. So that would be the end of that. They eventually will be going to WWE Network. But you still have so many other promotions out there. And you know what? Quality over quantity is not the way to go. I'm always the guy with quality over quantity. You know, it's better to have two or three promotions that are quality shows rather than you have 10, 15 that just exist to exist. Yeah, and I think that's also a problem in the US specifically. Everybody thinks they can be a wrestling promoter. Everybody wants to run their own shows. Everybody wants to, live out their fantasy booking. I don't get it, but people like to do that. And so every other month, it feels like somebody new is opening up their own wrestling company. But it doesn't have to be like that. And there are plenty of guys who can pick up the slack. And I think that fans, and I'm not trying to insult anyone, but if the fans think that, you know, all these guys getting basically promotions in their jobs, finding, you know, a better way to, you know, provide for their families and make a better living is a bad thing, and it's going to ruin pro wrestling in Great Britain, then, you know, they're mistaken. And not only that, but it also is very telling of how they feel about the other people that are still unsigned. I mean, do you not believe in the other guys? There's so many guys who can take the baton and, you know, pick up the torch and be those next guys who eventually will get called up and, you know, be proud that you can make it to a much bigger stage. Of course, WWE now hosting the first ever NXT UK takeover in the middle of January, ahead of the Royal Rumble weekend in Phoenix. It's also big. So I don't think it's going to ruin it. I think the companies should thrive. You know, you look at Rev Pro, they do a very good job of showcasing UK talent, bringing over talent from the U.S. And then there's the New Japan relationship, which, of course, you know, you'll do well when you can, you're able to leverage the Japan usage, as, of course, ROH does as well. So it's crazy to me. I don't get it. Kudos to all the people who were able to get signed and given the opportunity. And but that their absence is not going to kill pro wrestling in Great Britain. They were a big part of its resurgence, yes, but they're not going to kill it.
Yeah, you're not gonna kill something. People panic when stark changes come quickly. And, you know, the scene could take a little bit of a hit, you know, as in now now they're forced to create a new crop of stars from guys who were seen as mid-carders, you know, so they have to, the shows will change, but it's up to the promotions and the wrestlers to seize these new opportunities to create new stars, create new stories, you know, and yeah, WWE is gonna, you know, wants to showcase the British style. So you now have to do something to help set yourself apart just a little bit more and say, yes, we do the British style, but we do it in a way that WWE doesn't. We do something that WWE doesn't provide, because with these people signed, then that in theory means there's going to be a lot more NXT UK live touring shows. It's not going to kill the scene. Nothing ever does. You know, it didn't kill wrestling. You know, when Vince McMahon quote unquote killed the territories, that didn't mean that there was no other wrestling out there. It just meant it forced that wrestling to rebuild, to reconstruct, to rebrand, to find something different that set themselves apart. So I think it could be good, because, you know, I mean, you know, when a tree gets sick, you got to cut off a bunch of branches so that it can grow anew. And that's basically what's happened in the British scene. Dirty has come and cut off some of the bigger branches, but now it's time for those smaller branches to grow into the big branches, to create new life in the scene and stretch the scene outward, you know? It's absolutely not killing it, but I can see where people panic, you know, when their big stars or their big popular draws all get taken from them at one time.
Yeah, and also people now worrying about the future of WXW in Germany, with WWE also setting their eyes on Germany with their most recent signing of Walter, who's still currently my number one pick for best wrestler of the year in 2018. But yeah, so WXW, it's already showing that it may be, you know, fading away and changing the way it used to be, and, you know, that WWE relationship coming to Germany and other promotions. But, you know, that it's just an opportunity. You know, these guys and women, men and women, kill themselves, put their bodies in the line to do this. You know, it's not a hobby for most of these people. It's a job that they want to do, and they want to eventually make as much money as they can and, you know, be able to provide for the families and be able to have some type of, you know, insurance and life after wrestling. You know, I can't blame them for going for a better paycheck than wrestling for, you know, $20 or, you know, 5 pounds or whatever. You know, they get paid anywhere around here, over there. And I just, if WWE wants to expand internationally, you know, there's also talks about Latin America, because they just held down a trial in South America, you know, of course there's India, and there's China, Japan. Let them do what they're going to do, and as long as, you know, people still support the other independent shows, that's all that's going to matter, is people show up.
It becomes the job of the wrestling promoters and the wrestlers themselves to find new and exciting ways to keep themselves interested. It's business, okay? Business changes. You can't just have the same thing and expect, you know, very, very few products can beat Coca-Cola where it's the same product for X amount of years. Most other companies have to constantly be trying new things and reinventing themselves and reinvigorating themselves. You know, and it's just, I think it's going to turn out in a good thing in long run for professional wrestling as a whole, but it does make a lot of kind of scary, what if, uncertain future moments. And I think that's what people get thrust into a panic very quickly about.
And now with the NXT takeover of the world, the Triple H here is working on, it's been announced that, of course, with TakeOver, as it's a tradition, NXT TakeOver is always the Saturday before the WWE pay-per-views, and that's going to change in New York, in Brooklyn, WrestleMania weekend, as NXT TakeOver will be actually held on Friday this year. The exact cause of it, not sure, but it's been rumored that is because Triple H does not want to go head to head with the ROH New Japan Supercard, and I don't think it's about fear. More than anything, is, you know, he definitely looks like he wants to give the fans a chance to go, be able to go to both. Which, you know, there's a segment of people who are going to be at the RRA show who would otherwise, if that wasn't there for competition, they would be at NXT TakeOver.
Well, so I assume if they're moving TakeOver to Friday, then they're going to also do the Hall of Fame on Saturday again. So I think that's part of the thing. They just want to structure it differently. Give fans a chance to be at as many different places as they want to be, because they're realizing that that's what fans want to do now. It's wrestling week. It's not just WrestleMania weekend. It's not even just WWE weekend. It's, you know, WWE does a whole, you know, half a week's thing now as well. So I think that's part of it too. You know, it's the expansion of it. I don't think, you know, it's, oh, they're afraid of competing in a wrestling event. WWE is not afraid of competing against any wrestling event. They're not. And I think it's probably has something as much to do with TakeOver and the Hall of Fame more so than it has anything to do with worrying about what the competition's doing. You know, maybe this is the year that Triple H goes into the Hall of Fame, so he doesn't want to have to be, you know, he wants to be able to do NXT, have that behind him, and then focus on his Hall of Fame, induction, and WrestleMania. I don't know, but I definitely don't think it's because they're afraid of New Japan and ROH having a show. There's probably other reasons behind it that may never come out.
Yeah, for whatever reasons, I don't know. But hey, you know, it like I said, it gives the opportunity for the NXT fans who would otherwise go to ROH and New Japan to be able to go to both, and vice versa. You know, the NXT fans that wish they could go to both, everybody cannot go to both. And that would only help both brands. You know, of course, Madison Square Garden sold out for this supercard with Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, and I believe that now, you know, the Barclays Center will be sold out on Friday night because they will not have the head-to-head competition. So good for the fans. I've seen a lot of happy fans on the social media about being able to now go to both shows. Of course, make it a bigger deal. I personally wouldn't have cared about going head to head with ROH in New Japan, but, you know, Triple H, I guess he's a man of the people and he gives people what they want, you know. They asked for Cedric to get signed, he signed him. The people asked for Mia Yim to get signed, he signed her. You know, the fans asked to be able to go to both shows WrestleMania weekend. Well, he moved his show. Maybe that's a glimpse of what we may be looking at if Vince McMahon ever retires or, you know, hands off control to his daughter and son-in-law. But I can't say I hate it. But what is not not far away will be our next show next weekend. We'll be talking all about TLC and getting ready for the end of the year. So very excited about that. I hope everyone enjoyed this week's show. Lots of stuff going on. Give us your thoughts on what you think about Brit wrestling and the status. Your thoughts on the passing of Dynamite Kid. And is Triple H making the right calls with NXT? Whether it's overseas, whether it's here with Evolve, tell us what you think. We're on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. This is the show for tonight. Don't forget, subscribe to the FOW Radio Network on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. And until next time, keep watching wrestling. Thank you.